Blog Talk Radio.
Holy name, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And at 7 p.m., our very own Barbara Amore is going to conduct our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast without inviting the Holy Spirit to come in. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory,
my heart becomes free, and my shame is done.
Father God, I pray that it be all of you and none of me as I bring forth your message this day. I thank you for your only begotten Son who died on the cross so that we can receive eternal life. I pray for my pastor and all auxiliaries of this church. I pray for the increase of our congregation. I pray for our families, our friends, and our enemies. I pray you open up the understanding of the minds of those who hear my voice, that they may receive your revelation knowledge, that they may grow more and more in every way like Christ, so that they may receive their purpose in your holy will. And Father God, I pray for those who are sick and shut in may be healed. I pray for those that are facing trials and tribulations receive deliverance. I pray for those that are lost in darkness receive the light of your salvation. We thank you for supplying our every need and all these blessings we ask and pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And this, again, I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, and this is our sweet hour of prayer. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. At this time, I'd like to play another selection while we're waiting on our speakers' prayer requests at this time. Amen.
I am the one who spoke into nothing and all creation heard. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can stand.
And where you and consider. When God speaks to Sarah at 90 years old and tells her she's about to give birth to a baby, she laughs. But God responds and says, is anything too hard for me? And some of y'all have situations that look like they can't be fixed. But you have to understand that when I am is in the picture, anything is possible. I need you to look at somebody and say, anything is possible. So God says, no matter what it looks like, God says, you're overwhelmed, but racking with pain, but I am. Look at somebody and say, God says,
I am.
Let me be who
I am.
I don't understand how I'm gonna get out of it, but and say, God says,
I am.
Look at somebody else and say, God says,
I am.
Somebody needs to know that God says,
I am.
One more time, y'all. Tell him who he is. He says,
I am.
I know the numbers are bigger than you, but one more time, say, God says,
I am.
Just lean on him because
I am.
You can be peace.
Well, y'all, go ahead and make your decisions because I'm, praise be to God. Amen. Praise be to God. Again, I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, taking prayer requests at this time. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection while we're waiting.
Heavens and on earth, in the seas and all their depths, Lord, you greet us. He makes clouds rise from the earth, sending lightning with the rain, and Lord, you greet us. Greater than all,
that speaks of wisdom. You said, brace yourself and answer me. You said, did you lay the earth's foundation? You said, have you command of sky and sea? Lord, I have no words, and I don't deserve. Your glorious love is more than enough. What words could I use to explain? Forever I'll trust in your glorious love. Your glorious love. Thunder, you said, are you clothed in majesty? You said, all of this is for your glory. You said that the Lamb will cover me. Lord, I have no
God. It is now time for our daily bread and scriptural reading at this time. The title of this message is She Did What She Could. And the scripture reading is coming from Mark chapter 14 verses 3 through 9, where it says, and I'm reading from the New King James Version, amen. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor, and they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Praise be to God. Again, the title is She Did What She Could. And the text for this message is coming from Mark 14:8. And it says, "She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. She loaded the plastic container of cupcakes." This is the writer talking now, amen? "She loaded the plastic container of cupcakes onto the convoy belt, sending it toward the cashier. Next came the birthday card and various bags of chips. Hair escaped from her ponytail, crowning her fatigued forehead." Her toddler clamor for attention. The clerk announced the total and the mom's face fell. "Oh, I guess I'll have to put something back, but these are for her party," she signed, glancing regretfully at her child, standing behind her in line. Another customer recognized this mother's pain. This scene is familiar in Jesus' words to Mary of Bethany. She did what she could. Mark 14:8. After anointing him with a bottle of expensive nard before his death and burial, Mary was ridiculed by the disciples. Jesus corrected his followers by celebrating what she had done. He did not say she did all she could, but rather she did what she could. The lavish cost of the perfume wasn't his point. It was Mary's investment of her love and action that mattered. A relationship with Jesus results in a response in that moment. Before the mom could object, the second customer leaned forward and inserted her credit card into the reader, paying for the purchase. It wasn't a large expense, and she had extra funds that month. But to that mom, it was everything, a gesture of pure love poured out in her moment of need. Praise be to God. Question. In what unexpected ways has Jesus helped you? What might you do, not all, but what, to love Jesus back in a need you see today? Let us pray. Father, open my eyes to see you inviting me to do what I can today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Again, praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection, and that concludes our daily bread and scriptural reading at this time. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer. We pray from 6 to 7 p.m. every Tuesday through Fridays. And at 7 p.m., our very own Barbara Amore will come with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. If you would like to join us, you can call in at 7 p.m. and give us, you know, listen to the lesson, give your thoughts and comments on what the writer is conveying in the lesson. Amen. God bless you, and I hope you enjoy this selection.
Come on, let the sound of worship be released from your lips tonight. Come on, raise it now. Oh, that's good. Y'all raise it with it. Emotion.
I will be the sacrifice.
I'll provide.
What? skips my mind. The grace you've shown towards me, I just can't believe how you never turned away when I pushed you far away. You're the light that breathes through me. Now I've been set free. Right. Wrong seems to follow me. I still can't believe how you never let me go. How you never lost your hope. You keep proving your love to me.
In the dichotomy of man, my flesh cries out because my burdens get heavy and my mind seems confused. But my spirit answers back and says, don't worry. God is right there. He's never failed. He will fight every battle. I've learned to trust in the Lord.
Thank you. learned to trust in Jesus.
My heart trusted.
Oh,
my heart trusted.
In the midst of all of my trials.
My heart trusted.
All of my tribulations.
My heart trusted.
I learned to trust in Jesus.
My heart trusted.
Oh. I trust in Jesus, he's my friend. I will trust in the Lord. Put your trust, put all your trust, put it in Jesus.
This morning, Lord, we declare together that it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus, at the center of it all. Singing, Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the Jesus, be the center, say,
Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you.
Father, we ask you now, as we lift your name, that you'll dwell among us and be are God, and we are your people. Let's look at life together. No matter what,
no matter what,
come on, the problem
may be,
He's in control,
and He knows
yes,
everything.
I have the victory,
for He is my King.
In Him I live, I move,
and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what,
no matter what, the problem may be,
He's in control,
and He knows everything.
How many know that you got the victory?
I have the victory, for He is my King.
In Him I live, I move,
and have my being.
Say like the best of people.
He's in control and He knows everything.
I have the victory,
for He is my King.
In Him I live,
move and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what,
no matter what, the problem may be.
Come on, clap your hands like this and sing it with us.
He's in control and He knows everything.
I have the victory,
for He is my King.
In Him I live.
If
you believe that, sing this with the blessed of people.
Our Bible study this evening with our very own Barbara Amore. She hasn't arrived yet, so we will We will give her a few minutes to get in. God bless you, First Lady. How are you this evening? Okay, so while we're waiting for our speaker, I'll play a short selection. You're conducting the lesson?
No, Barbara is. Sister Barbara.
Oh, she hasn't arrived yet. That's why.
Oh, okay.
Okay, she's here.
Yeah, she's here. Good evening.
Good evening. It's in your hands.
Okay. Precious and Heavenly Father, give your humble servant to give praise, glory, and honor. Thank you for another day, a beautiful day. We have before. Bless each and every person that's on the line. Forgive us of our sins, those that are omissions. Keep us, and we shall be kept. You can't live without you. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough because you're just wonderful. You're awesome. You're compassionate, and you care, Father God. Thank you, Jesus, for everything that you've done, doing, and will ever do. And all these blessings I ask in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right, our lesson begins, or resumes, I should say, on page 152, the part six, C,
yeah.
Number four, about encouragement. And we were talking about angels and cherubims again. We're still talking about that. And I wanted to talk about something we have read in 1 Peter 1 and 12. I don't see my notes right now.
1 Peter what?
The previous section 3, 1 Peter 1 and 12.
Mm-hmm. Section C, right?
What's that?
Section C, specific ministries.
Section C, number three.
Number three, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
First Peter 1 and 12.
You have read 1 Peter 1 and 3. I'm looking for my notes. If you could read that again.
Okay. To whom it was revealed that they were serving not themselves, but you, with reference to the same thing which now have been announced to you through those who proclaim the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels desire to look.
Okay, and talking about that, I think you had said something about the prophets were in the Old Testament only. Remember?
Yeah, that there was the prophets were in the Old Testament, yeah.
Right. But we had some in the New Testament too.
Who are the prophets?
There's an echo or something. Is that my phone?
I had myself on mute and it was still there, so it's between you and First Lady.
Okay, does anyone know of any prophets in the New Testament?
I don't. But I can Google it.
Okay. No, we don't need you to Google anything. Hold off on the Googling and the stuff for a minute. Evangelist, do you know of any?
No.
I know Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate prophet because Jesus prophesies his coming, his death, and his returning. So outside of Jesus being a prophet in the New Testament, I don't know any other prophets.
Okay. What about John in Revelation?
Which John? John.
John in Revelation. It's one John in Revelation.
John did reveal a lot that he saw in his dream.
Right.
Never thought of him as being a prophet. But he talked about things to come also.
And that's what prophets do. Right? So John in Revelation is a Jewish prophet with apocalyptic visions, reference the eschatological end times. So John was, through his visions, was talking about what the end times would be like. So that's a prophet. We had Anna and Simeon in Luke 2, 26 through 38. Would you get that, please? Luke 2, 26 through 38. Who has that?
No, I was writing it down.
Getting it. I'm getting it.
Okay. Luke 2, 26 through 38.
Right.
Talking about Anna and Simeon.
Yeah, they were waiting for Jesus to be revealed.
Mm-hmm.
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 Sorry. 26, right? 26
through
38. Mm-hmm. Okay, I have it.
Okay.
And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Jesus. And he came in the spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God. So this wasn't a prophecy.
Go through 32.
Okay, now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant. Okay, now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel. And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher, and she was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow of the age of 84, she never left the temple, serving night and day with fasting and praying. At the very moment she came up and began giving thanks to God, and continue to speak of him to all those who are looking. Oh, yeah. Okay. Praise be to God. Yep. You're a prophet. That was a prophet. Yes.
Okay. We've read that, I mean, countless times.
Yep.
Especially when we talk about the expectation of Christ coming into the temple as a babe. But we never, you know, really saw it as a prophet and prophetess.
Exactly.
Amen. So
exactly.
Why was Simeon considered a prophet?
Well, she, yeah, because she,
Simeon.
Because he talked about what was to come with Jesus. I mean, that, you know, knowing how the piercing, right? His, about the death of Christ and how how her heart will break too. I mean, he spoke, he basically told her what's about to happen, what's going to happen. To Jesus.
Exactly. So that's nothing but a prophet. I mean, again, it's not so much, you know, outstanding in our faces, like, but that he predicted what was going to happen prophetically.
Right.
With Jesus.
Yeah.
And he tried to console Mary.
Yes.
All right.
Amen. Thank you.
And Anna was a prophetess. They didn't specify what she did so much. But she, too, was waiting for the freedom of
Jerusalem. Hmm? There was another prophetess, too. You know who else was a prophetess? Now I should talk about it. Priscilla and Aquila. I think Priscilla was considered a prophetess, too. I think she's called
Priscilla?
A prophetess. Priscilla. Aquila was her husband, Priscilla and Aquila.
I know. Why was that? Why you say that they prophet?
I have to, you know, find the scripture for that.
Let's go on. Then we had John the Baptist. He was a prophet. Evangelist Susan,
yes.
If you get John, first chapter, you listening?
Yes, ma'am.
The one verses 19 through 28, talking about John the Baptist.
John chapter 1.
19 through 28.
Okay. You want me to read it?
Yeah.
Okay, this, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, so if it's different, then I can help that. Verse 19 says, this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders sent priests and temple assistants from Jerusalem to ask John, who are you? He came right out and said, I am not the Messiah. Well then, who are you? They asked. Are you Elijah? No, she replied. Are you the prophet we are expecting? No. Then who are you? We need an answer for those who sent us. What do you have to say about yourself? Then John replied in the words of the prophet Isaiah, I am a voice shouting in the wilderness, clear the way for the Lord's coming. Then the Pharisees who had been sent, asked him, if you are not the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet, what right do you have to baptize? John told them, I baptize with water, but right here in the crowd is someone you do not recognize.
though his ministry follows mine, I am not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals. This encounter took place in Bethany, an area east of the Jordan River where John was baptizing. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, that's definitely.
Yeah, that was wonderful. I mean, he said that he wasn't the Messiah. He said that he wasn't a prophet. So he was one crying in the wilderness. He came to prepare the way for the one that is coming, which is Jesus Christ.
Okay. Can
y'all hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, but she's answering a question too.
Everybody.
Okay, good evening, Mother. Welcome.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored. Thank you. How you doing? We're in chapter 21 on page 152. And we went back to section 6, number B, and there was a scripture that, section C. There was a scripture that Nadine read, 1 Peter 1 and 12, when she spoke about the Old Testament prophets. And I had questioned that fact that aren't there prophets in the New Testament? And she said, no, not that she knew of. And I came back with some prophets. All right, so right now we're going over that list. Do you know of any prophets in the New Testament, Mother?
I'm sorry. What did you say?
Can I just say something to
did
that?
You hear anything
with, hello? Can you hear me?
Go on. Yes.
Yeah, I just want to say something to what you just read, because based on what Hilda read, you know, John the Baptist himself is saying that he's not a prophet. But in Matthew 11, 9 and 11, because remember when she read, they asked him, was he a prophet? He said no. But in Matthew 11, 9 through 11, it says, and this is Jesus' talk, and Jesus says, and it goes on to say, but what did you go out to see? A prophet? Talking about John the Baptist. And Jesus says, yes, I tell you. And one who is more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare a way before you. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than, is not one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So Jesus proclaimed, affirmed that John the Baptist was a prophet, even though in that scripture John denies being a prophet.
He said he was greater than a prophet.
That he was,
he said he was greater than a prophet. He alluded to him as a prophet. He alluded to him as a prophet because that's how they alluded. You know, like that, you know, that's how they, I guess that's how they see it. But,
like they couldn't see beyond that he was much greater. Yeah.
But he's saying really he's greater than a prophet. He's not really saying he's a prophet. He's saying he's greater.
Okay. And let me just read this from the Message Bible. It says, that's right, a prophet. Probably the best prophet you'll ever hear. He is the prophet that Malachi announced when he wrote, I'm sending my prophet ahead of you to make the road smooth for you. So that's just what happened. John was a forerunner of Jesus Christ. He came to make the road smooth for Jesus Christ. Amen. So that concludes the John the Baptist. Let's go on. Is there another prophet that you can think of in the New Testament? I asked Mother. I know she heard of you.
Well, I know Jesus was a prophet.
Right. We know that. And some say they don't really want to. Evangelist, can you do something about that noise?
Okay, then thank you. I would have to mute everybody to find out whose phone it is.
Okay. Okay, work the board. So
you mute them one at a time to find out whose it is. You just mute them and turn them back on.
I know, Pastor. Thank you.
You just do it one at a time to see who it is.
Please. So, Mother, you say, you know, Jesus was a prophet, okay?
Yeah,
he was more than a prophet. He was God. So, go on.
Yeah, well, he had all the gifts. And one of them was
prophet. Know God. We know Jesus. Was there another one?
I know you said John the Baptist. Paul?
Yeah. Why you call Paul a prophet?
Well, I know that Jesus met him on the road to Damascus.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And he went forth to spread the gospel to the Gentile.
Does that make him a prophet?
Could I ask a question?
Yeah.
When you answer it. I don't understand. Where are we at in the lesson, and how does this relate?
We're talking again about what we were reading last week. We're still talking about angels and cherubim, and we were in part 6. In relation to the church, section C, specific ministries, question number 3, observing. They observe Christian order, work, and suffering. And we read various scriptures, 1 Corinthians 4 and 9, 11 and 10, Ephesians 3 and 10, I think you read that, and 1 Peter 1 and 12. When Nadine read 1 Peter 1 and 12, she said something, and I questioned it, that the prophets were in the Old Testament. And I said, well, weren't there some in the New Testament? So we're trying to get this clarified. And as we're learning, there were other prophets. There were prophets mentioned in the New Testament. Amen? Other than Jesus.
But, I mean, I don't understand, how does that deal with observing the observed Christian order?
So we're trying to clarify what was not clear last week. That's what I'm doing. We're trying to get that there were other prophets that were not known or weren't clarified. We're going to get back to the lesson, but I'm just saying we're trying to enlighten people about there being prophets in the New Testament. That's what I'm doing.
Oh. Okay.
Okay. So, Mother, you were saying you knew Jesus. Was there another one that you could think of?
Peter.
Peter, why?
Well, I know he recognized who Jesus was.
That doesn't make him a prophet.
Well.
Okay, we had Anna and Simeon, which we read already in Luke 2:26-38. We had John the Baptist. We saw that in John 1:19-28. And was pointed out in by Nadine in Matthew 11:19 through something.
Right.
I don't recall.
It's 7:30 now, so we need to move to get through this lesson so we can know what that
Okay, happened. We also had Philip in Acts, and we had Paul when he was talking about the rapture, okay? And there's certain scriptures that we won't get into because of a time constraint, because we're going to try to end at 8 o'clock, correct?
Real well, we need to know what the lesson.
All right, so
we're
at part 4, right. Encouragement. They encourage in times of danger. Look at Acts 27:23-24.
All right, I got it. For this night, an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, came to me, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. It is necessary for you to stand before Caesar, and behold, God has graciously granted you all who are sailing with you. So he's talking about encouragement, right, in times of danger.
Right.
So it was an angel that said that to him?
You tell us.
Well, this is quite, for this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, came to me. All right, so he's talking about how an angel of God came to him and encouraged him.
Okay.
And that's, you know, it's an example of encouragement. They encourage in times of danger. So it's showing how angels will come to encourage you in times of danger.
Exactly. Okay. Do you know what kind of angel that possibly was?
Well, I don't know. But it didn't say what type of angel it was, so.
But what do you use in your spiritual mind? What do you think that could have been?
I would not know, because I don't know, you know, like I can't tell you a list of the angels off the top of my head. I know what they are. I can't tell you exactly what their orders are, what, you know, jobs they do off the top of my head.
Okay. Anybody else?
Can we move on?
And,
nobody rushes you when you're going over and over stuff. What do you mean, can I move on? You want to take it over? Go on, 5-5.
Mm-hmm.
Present at death.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's 7:30. We got to try to get through as much as we can.
You're concerned about time? We've been on this page for the last 3 weeks.
I know, that's crazy.
You realize that?
We got to move a little forward.
Okay. Gotcha. All right, part 5, present at death. They care for the righteous at the time of death. Luke 16:22. Who wants to get that, Mother? Luke 16:22.
Luke 16:22.
Yes, ma'am. They care for the righteous at the time of death. You have that, Mother?
Well, you said
okay.
Luke 16:22,
yes? Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Amen.
Right. Anything, thoughts about that?
Oh, well, it's nice to know that angels will come to you when you die.
Mother, the one that reads gets the opportunity to come.
Okay.
Mother?
When the beggar died, the angel carried the beggar into Abraham's bosom. The beggar went to heaven, and the rich man, he died, and he was buried. He went to hell.
Okay, so what does that say about what the angels are doing?
Well, when you die, the angels come to meet you, you know, to usher you into heaven.
Evangelist, it's still awful.
Hold up. You getting a feedback?
Yes.
And who's he getting the feedback from?
It's only when Sister Barbara talks.
Oh, well, then that means that's because of the type of headphones you're using. If
I don't
you use
have
headphones,
any
headphones that have, if you have, well, it could be the connection, you know. If your headphones have a mic.
I've been getting that from other people.
If your headphones have a mic.
Okay, I'll take it off.
Your headphones.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I still hear me, but okay. Yeah, still getting the echo.
Hold on. Let me see where that's coming from.
You don't hear that, though? You don't hear that?
Yes. I'm trying to figure out where it's coming from. Hold up.
All right. I took off the speaker on my phone. And it's
I know. I hear it. I really hear
sorry,
it.
Sorry, Mother. I'm just trying to
it's all right.
Not be annoyed because of the feedback. But I can go on talking. Is that okay, Apostle?
Yeah. Keep going. Try to just get through this lesson.
So what happened was that the beggar was consoled by the angels. That's what I was trying to get at. The righteous are consoled, or they're cared for at their time of death. And we didn't see that with the rich man. Amen. Because he might have been not so nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So the beggar had a hard life. He was a beggar. He didn't have money. But when he died, the angels came to comfort him. And that's good to know. I'm going to move on, page 153. Whether angels continue to function, that sounds better. I don't know what you did. In all these ways throughout the present age is uncertain. But they did perform these ministries and may well continue to do so, even though we are not aware of them. Of course, God is not obliged to use angels. He can do all these things directly. But seemingly, he chooses to employ the intermediate ministry of angels on many occasions. Nevertheless, the believer recognizes that it is the Lord who does these things, whether directly or through using angels. Notice Peter's testimony that the Lord delivered him from the prison through God, though God actually used an angel to accomplish it. Acts 12, 7 through 10, compared with verses 11 and 17. We don't really have to go into that, right?
Yeah, you don't have to go into that. I'm reading it anyway just to see what it is.
Don't go through it?
Okay. No, don't go through it.
So perhaps an inscription I once saw in an old church in Scotland states the balance well. Though God's power be sufficient to govern us, yet for man's infirmity, he appointed his angels to watch over us. Any thoughts about that? I'm going to turn this Bluetooth back on and see if that problem.
Is Nadine?
You said that God appoints his angels to watch over us. Hello?
I'm here.
We're here.
Trying to play with you. Mother. Say that again, please.
I said you said that God appoints angels to watch over us.
Right. That's what God's writer wrote.
Yeah, to guide us. And also, we have guardian angels. I think each one of us is assigned a guardian angel.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have angels that fight for us, like Michael or Gabriel. They fight, fight for us. You know, maybe fight against the enemy on our behalf.
True.
You know, but we also have ministering angels.
Okay, but what about these that God has appointed to watch over us? Still getting a feedback. What about those
that God has appointed? It sounds like a guardian angel.
Got a Bluetooth on.
She put the Bluetooth back.
Right, that's why.
That's not the Bluetooth. It's feeding back into your microphone.
That's why it's making a loop.
I don't understand what I'm saying. I didn't put it on because it's cutting off. That's the speaker. That's my phone, the speaker. So that's not going to be taking it off again. Okay, is that better?
I think
I
it's
just wanted
back.
To we still have the echo.
Hello?
You need to use headphones, and you need to get regular headphones.
Yeah, maybe that's
because
I get it from other sources, too.
Yeah, if you get regular headphones, then
yes,
well, we need
that
the
would
mic.
Eliminate that.
I'm going to get you the mic.
Okay.
Hello?
All right.
Hi, yes.
I just wanted, hello?
I wanted to read something from 1 Kings 22 and 15, which I thought it was very interesting because I was doing this as Bible study. But it's about an angel. It's about the angels. It's about God having an encounter with his angel. Can I just read it? It's just so good.
Yes.
What is it, 1 Kings?
It's 1 Kings 22, and it starts at verse 19, and it's from the prophet Micaiah. And the prophet Micaiah was having a conversation with King Ahab. So King Ahab was Jezebel's husband, and they all they did was worship how we learned how to say it? Baal. Yeah, okay, so I'm just going to read this really quickly because this is then Micaiah continues. He says, listen to what the Lord says. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with all the armies of heaven around him on his right and on his left. And the Lord said, who can entice Ahab to go into battle against Ramoth Gilead so he can be killed? There were many suggestions. And finally, a spirit angel approached the Lord and said, I can do it. How will you do this? The Lord said. And the spirit replied, I will go out and inspire all of Ahab's prophets. Now, Ahab had 400 Baal prophets. They were all false prophets. So the angel says, I will go out and inspire all of Ahab's prophets to speak lies. You will succeed, said the Lord. Go ahead and do it. So, you see, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouths of all the prophets. So when Ahab had asked his prophets, after this happened, Ahab had asked his prophets, he says, if I go into battle against this country or these people, will I win? And all of Ahab's prophets says, yes, you will surely win and you will surely live. But you can see how God made the prophets lie to Ahab, and Ahab ended up dying. He got chosen. But it's just another way how God uses his angels.
Sometimes you have to tell a lie to beat the devil. That's what they say.
And then you go straight to hell.
If you think about it, if Joseph had to say that Christ was his son, but it's a Christian.
You're muffled.
Joseph had to say that Christ was his son. So that's, you know, sometimes you have to tell a lie to beat the devil.
Joseph had to say what?
But it worked. Sometimes even on your job, you know, you have to lie to keep your job. So, you know, it depends on your job and on who you are. I'm just saying that sometimes you have to lie to beat the devil. That's what they say.
Don't say that, because the Bible says all liars go to hell.
Oh, I'm saying.
There's no time.
The difference here is that God had evil.
I want
to say that in this story, God had evil lie to evil. He didn't say people had to lie. He put an evil lying spirit into these evil false prophets. But Micaiah told the truth. Micaiah told him, you will surely die if you go to war.
Right.
He was the only one that told the truth. But he had all these evil false prophets lie to this evil king.
Right. But you have to remember, too, at first, Micaiah sarcastically told him that he would be victorious. Remember that part?
Oh.
I'm glad you said he was very sarcastic, because he says,
Because you got to be kidding me.
Do you really
believe? Ahab that he will win, and Ahab said, you know what? You need to get out of here with that, because every time we talk, you got something negative to say. Tell the truth.
Right.
So Micaiah came back and said, you will not win. I saw a dream in the dream. The sheep were scattered, blah, blah, blah. That's you. You know, when you're scattered. He said, get him out of here. Put him in, arrest him, and give him nothing but bread and water. Amen. And as he was going out, you know, restrained, he said, hearken unto me, people. If I'm lying, then
your king is going to come back. He didn't come back. Amen. I love that. I love that lesson. But anyway, thank you for that. Finish this. Maybe we'll finish with this chapter today. We've got 10 minutes. Okay, this is the last paragraph. I think we can do it. Probably the statements about angels observing the conduct of redeemed people startle our thinking as much as any of these truths. The reason for their interest in us may stem from the fact that since angels do not personally experience salvation, the only way they can see the effects of salvation is to observe how it is manifest in saved human beings. We are indeed a theater in which the world, men, and angels make up the audience. 1 Corinthians 4:9. Somebody get that, please?
That's it. That's exactly what it says.
Okay, let us put on a good performance for them as well as for the Lord, before whom all things are naked and open. Hallelujah!
Yay! Praise God.
So, thank you all. It was lovely. I really enjoyed this section. But the next section is section 5. And it talks about our adversary, the devil. All right?
The devil,
The devil.
Perfect.
Amen.
Yeah.
So we're going to start it, but we're not going to finish. Is that okay, Apostle?
Oh, if you want to start, you can start. I mean, you can read the first paragraph, give them an idea, maybe you'll come back to it again. It's up to you.
Wonderful. Okay. Oh, God bless you, sir. The reality of Satan. This is on page 157. Mother, you have it?
Yes.
Mother, you have it?
Do I have what?
The reality of Satan, chapter 22.
She doesn't have
the book. Oh, she don't have the book.
Oh, okay. I thought she had it. I'm sorry. Okay, we're talking about the reality of Satan. This is the next chapter.
Okay.
The denial of Satan's reality usually takes the form of considering the idea of a Satan as the personification of evil, but not actually a being who has his own separate existence. The idea of Satan, in quotes, capital S, S-A-T-A-N, as a person developed more in New Testament times, and this necessitated, we are told, reinterpretations of the legends, in quotes, of the Old Testament, since it is claimed they do not contain the idea of a distinctive demonic figure. In addition, Iranian dualism, it is said, contributed to the Jewish idea of a personal Satan during the Greco-Roman period. Number one, evidence. Any thoughts about that?
No.
Anybody? No?
Yeah, I mean, it's just interesting that, you know, how they've what they're trying to explain that the idea of Satan as a person only developed more in the New Testament, you know, as an actual person. Because we saw in Ezekiel and in the Old Testament that, you know, I don't think because we don't see angels as being a person. I mean, we see Satan is a...
A bad angel. You don't see that as a person?
Angels have come in the form of men. We talked about that before with angels. But angels in themselves, did we read a description of them being personified as people?
Okay. Okay.
So,
okay,
let me say this. They can come in the form of humans, but basically the way angels are described, at least the way they describe seraphims and cherubims, they're not in the form of a person.
Okay, can we just define what this paragraph says?
That's what we're
everybody
talking
doesn't have the book. To define it, the paragraph is talking about the denial of Satan's reality and how, you know, when people have this denial for Satan, it takes this personification of evil and not as an actual person. Right? Am I right, Barbara?
That sounds right. Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. So I'm saying that, you know, sometimes we got to break it down real simple for those who don't have the book, because with just hearing it, it's hard to comprehend because
right.
You got to really stand the words that they're using, you know. So so the first thing is they talk about the denial of Satan's reality. So there are people who believe that the idea of Satan as a personification of evil, but not an actual a being who has his own separate existence.
Can you stop
the idea of Satan as a person? Y'all understand that first part?
No, that's what I'm trying to get some clarification on. When I ask you to stop, when it says Satan as the personification of evil, but not actually a being like a human being, a creature.
Right.
Who has his own separate existence? What does that say to you? And
well,
it's talking
it's
about the denial of the denial. What?
Saying that the denial, when denial of Satan's reality, how it usually takes place, and that's what we need to understand about the sentence. That is saying that the concept of the denial of Satan being a human normally takes place as a personification of evil. So in other words, it's saying like evil exists in different forms, like it could be evil. So when people deny the reality of Satan being an entity or a being, they look at it as him being a personification of evil. So no matter what it is, evil for some people is Satan. For some people, evil is Satan. Understand
What is a personification? This is to the class. What is personification?
Mother, evangelist.
Yeah, like a person?
I don't know.
It's a person? Okay.
Personification?
Okay. Something that takes on the characteristics of a person.
Human.
A person.
It's human
okay,
life.
It could be a cat. It could be
human
a human
type.
Be a cat.
Yeah.
Okay, but
it's human life.
Yeah, you could say human life. But it's saying the personification of evil. So
right.
As the idea of a Satan as the personification. So, okay, let's see something here.
But see, what I see here is that I don't, could I say something about the personification of evil? I mean, I see, so this is saying that
it's a figure intended to represent an
absolute
quality.
But I think that Satan is actually a being. I thought it said human being, but it's not. It says a being. And they don't believe it. Right. This is what the first sentence is saying, that people believe of the personification of evil, but not an actual being. But we saw him as an actual being in Ezekiel. He's an actual being.
But see,
just like
focused.
The
angel,
okay,
I'm talking.
We just started the chapter,
so
okay,
I mean, suppose somebody
things,
wasn't with you on that class. They won't know
these
what you're
things
talking
may
about.
Be brought out, but at this point, we're just in the first paragraph, so from what we read, not from what we read yesterday or 2 years ago, but from what we just read, that's what I'm trying to get an understanding of for everybody and myself.
Okay.
Right. Okay, so to me, and I don't want to cut anybody off, but it's talking about Satan is a personification of evil, but it was not actually a being in its own separate existence. So that's evil. Evil didn't have to come from this man with the red suit on and the long tail and the pitchfork and all. It's not about that. It's just a evil. It could be anywhere. Okay?
Yeah.
Could I say this one thing
before y'all go any further? When you say personification, understand that it has, you know, as a noun, the attribute of a person, personal nature or human characteristics of some non-human or representation of an abstract quality in human form. A figure intended to represent an abstract quality. So here, a personification means a figure to represent because it's the personification of evil. So in other words, they take the form of considering the idea of a Satan as the personification of evil. So,
but not necessarily
personification.
A thing.
Right, it's not talking about a person. Personification means a figure intended to be evil. It could be abstract. So some people don't look at it as literal. They look at it from an abstract point of view.
Right, and then, Mother, I know you want to say something, but it could be a spirit, an evil spirit. Amen? That's not a being. That's not something you can see. It's just a spirit that causes people to do things. Mother, come, what you have to say? What you want to add?
Not only that, you have to remember that Satan has an army of demonic forces. You know what I mean? And maybe the being that's influencing a person is not Satan himself or one of his demons, demonic forces, because he has an army like God. Satan has an army.
Okay, so is that army a being? Is it a physical being?
Yeah, they're beings, principalities and powers and rules of the darkness of the world. And they have all different ranks.
We know, Pastor, wait. Mother, is that a being? Principalities and rules of
beings.
High, is that a being? Huh?
Yeah, they're demonic forces. They're spirit forces.
But is that a
demonic
being? Is that a person?
They're angels.
They're angels. They might have been fallen angels.
Hello? When you talk about principality and you talk about powers, and when you talk about rulers of darkness that it's said in.
Yes, from the stance of angels, you're right.
In Corinthians. They're talking about angels. Those angel titles could be evil or good. You could be a good principality angel, or you could be an evil principality angel.
Yes, right.
You could be a good power. So I just want them to understand the concept. Because once they understand the concept, they can apply it correctly. But if you don't understand it correctly, you can't apply it correctly.
Yeah.
So the main theme of this thing is talking about the reality of Satan, whereas the denial of his reality, people tend to look at him as, like they said, an idea of Satan as a personification of evil or just evil. They just say, well, that's evil. Evil exists.
Or something that has a separate existence.
That's just what this sentence says. So now let's go to the next
one. Go on, read it.
The idea of Satan as a person developed more in New Testament times. Okay? So the idea, right? Everybody get that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mother?
But wait a minute. The idea,
Satan as a person. The idea of Satan as a person developed more in New Testament times.
Okay.
All right? And this necessitated, we are told, to reinterpretation of the legends of the Old Testament since it is claimed they do not contain the idea of a distinctive demonic figure. So what, Sister Barbara, break that down with that one.
So in the New Testament times, it was necessary to have a representative of the legends from the Old Testament. Since in the Old Testament, there was not, not a distinctive demonic figure. This feedback is crazy.
All right, so then, in addition, it's talking about something in addition to what we just read. So what we just read is number one.
Can you finish that?
The denial of Satan's reality is that it's an evil presence. All right? The idea of Satan being a person happened in the New Testament.
Right.
Right? So these are what's going on in this paragraph. Then it talks about, oh, damn. Excuse me. I just lost my page. Okay, so we got one bullet point. What's the first bullet point, Mother? The denial of
what
Satan is usually taken in what? As what?
I don't hear what you're saying.
All right. What is the first bullet point? The denial of Satan reality is usually taken in the form of what?
The reality of Satan, they just feel that it's something evil, but it's not. It's
right.
Not a performance.
Right. That was the first bullet point. Right. The second bullet point is the idea of Satan as a person developed more in the New Testament times. So what's the second point, Evangelist Hilda?
I don't know.
The idea of Satan as a person developed more in New Testament times. What does that mean?
If
repeat
I tell
it, what
you,
I said.
I don't know something. That's what I
repeat
said.
It.
Don't
repeat it.
Know.
Repeat
I'm not going to repeat it. Move on
the
to somebody
idea.
Else.
If you repeat it, then you'll understand it. Because
no,
it's
I'm
so
not
simple.
Going to.
Why? Why?
Because I don't.
It's saying the idea of Satan as a person developed in New Testament times. What does that mean?
Pastor, I don't want to be rude, so please move on to somebody.
I'm trying to you. Just listen. It
I
means
don't want
the,
to listen. I'm not listening.
Why?
Stop asking me why. If I say I don't know something that I don't want to don't go there.
I'm getting
emotions
from
your drama.
From,
I am not
I'm
in
just trying
mood.
To
please.
So that
please.
Whoever
go
doesn't
ahead.
Have
move,
the book.
Move.
Can understand
okay,
it.
Can I just interrupt here? We're going to end this class right now.
Thank
can
you.
We be prayed out and we'll review this again next week? If you get a chance, if you don't mind, Apostle, if you get a chance, everybody that has the book, read that whole first page.
All right.
All
I just
right?
want to say this before we go.
The reality
All right.
of Satan.
All right.
Yes?
I just want to finish the chapter. Nadine,
you're not
going to
finish the chapter. You want to finish the paragraph?
Nadine, I got one sentence I want her to do. Nadine, in addition to Iranian dualism, it is said, contributed to Jewish idea of personal Satan during the Roman Greco period, Greek and Roman. What does that mean? You know, she just said, what is it trying to tell us?
Excuse me.
Is she in? Is she still on?
No, she left.
All right.
I don't understand. It seems like y'all want me here, and when I'm here, y'all seem to have a better time when I'm not. And it seems like when I'm here, it's like, you know, y'all don't, it seems like when I'm not here, y'all have a better time.
I just said I
so
didn't
y'all
know it, and I didn't want to try to answer it. But
you answer my question. Y'all seem to have a better time when I'm
not here. Then I get upset. If I say I don't know something, just leave it like that. Move on to somebody else. That's all I asked you to do.
Dealing with your attitude.
Well, I'm sorry. I have an attitude today.
Attitude. If you give me an attitude in public, I'm going to deal with it in public. If you come to me in person and say, well, this is something you did that offended me, but I don't know I offended you, then what am I supposed to do? As a leader.
Common sense would have said to you, if I said to you, I don't know something, then you move on to somebody else. Maybe I didn't know it. Maybe I did know it. But I was being very polite. I said, I don't know.
Because I don't know that if I say to you the idea of Satan as a person developed in the New Testament times, you know what Satan is. You know what New Testament times. And all I need you to say is, well, it's just saying that the idea of Satan as a person developed because of the New Testament. That's all it's saying. All we're doing is repeating what it's saying so that we know the bullet points in the paragraph. There are three bullet points in this paragraph. If we know what the points are, we know the paragraph. And the more you do it, the better you get at it. If you don't try, you can't grow. So you saying something I don't know to me or something I know you know is a disrespect. Because I know you know the idea of Satan as a person developed more in the New Testament. That's all I'm saying. That's what the book says, so that my mother will know what the book says. And that's what I'm just saying, like, you know, if you don't understand something or you feel that the lesson is going too fast for you, then you have to request that the person slow it down. Because getting an attitude will not fix the situation. Only a solution will. So if you're not looking for solutions, you can't move forward. And therefore, you're holding back the church because you are in leadership. You have to move forward, and you have to know what it is. That's what this is all about. Understanding the word so you can teach it to other people. I'm sorry. God bless you. I'm sorry if I hit you. I'm sorry. I mean, please.
Can we stop
me because I'm just trying to do
it.
And it's not easy for me. I don't like telling people what to do. So it's not easy for me. Get that. And then you realize I don't have an attitude. I don't like telling people what to do. I didn't ever want to get home. All right. Is that, you know, I'm going to be very frustrated. I'm trying to help you understand the word. I'm cutting in on Barbara to help her see how to teach you. So I cut in on her so that she'll see, because I know my people. She don't know my people. But I know how to teach you.
I think I do. I think I know your people.
A little bit, but I know her, and I speak with her on another level. So I'm just saying that if you go too fast, she's not going to say, well, I really don't understand what you're saying.
That was just her problem. Right? If you get an attitude with me, then I'm going to call you on it. Because you shouldn't have an attitude with me because you don't want to ask questions. That's not fair. I'm trying to teach you. You got to ask questions to learn. There's no such thing as a stupid question. That's what we learn in school. There's no such thing as a stupid question.
All right,
it's
I have
stupid,
to leave.
That's what
I don't know if you want to pray out or you guys want to continue your conversation, but I have to go.
The meditations of our heart, we accept when God say, oh, Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen. Love you all. Study the word, okay?
Love you all, too.
Shalom.
Good night.
Okay. Good night.